Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. I wish I could say this episode's much happier than the previous, but, no comment? It's important that we tackle what's going on directly. This is not stuff that we can afford to shy away from, as most of us have with politics in general up until recently. We've all been drafted by circumstance for the defense of our nation, like it or not. Shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If anyone out there wants to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. In today's insurrection update, another police officer from the Capitol riot, Howard Liebengood, has died, this time at home, of an apparent suicide, according to unnamed sources, though the official statement does not name cause of death. It is sad to see conspiracy theories being immediately cast that the officer was complicit in the attack and killed himself out of guilt. I struggle to grasp how an insurrection, caused by conspiracy theories, is not enough to get it through people's skulls that they should not engage in conspiracy theories. We don't even know for sure that this officer died of suicide, and even if he did, there are countless reasons he may have done so, ranging from PTSD, depression, or events totally unrelated for which the insurrection may have simply been the last straw. I beg our listeners, please do not engage in conspiracy culture, even when it seems innocuous. Every time that mentality is encouraged, it lends strength to movements that can lead to death and destruction. So we haven't talked about it yet, but Yang has been as appalled by the events at the Capitol as anyone and is supportive of impeachment as he was before. From a recent tweet, quote, "If you don't impeach a guy who sent a mob to your house that resulted in multiple deaths, there's not much left," end quote. And Andrew's right. If this was not enough to warrant an impeachment, nothing would be. What's incredibly sad is the comment section under Yang's tweet. "I'm sorry to say that if you thought Yang Gang were more rational than the rest of the country, think again." The top 10 or so comments are calling Yang crazy for thinking Trump deserves impeachment over this, trying to excuse it by pointing at riots during the BLM protests, and denouncing Yang as a mainline Democrat. Popular diversions. So maybe we should quickly cover a few important points on those. First, Trump's speech, which is being used as evidence for his incitement of the insurrection. Seth Abramson took the time to comb through the speech that Trump gave at his Save America march just before the riot and analyzed why he used the words that he did. I found it quite helpful, as I hadn't heard most of the lengthy speech yet. In fact, I still haven't gotten through most of the 200-tweet thread analyzing it either, but here's the highlights for me. Some quotes from the speech. Quotes, "Our country has had enough. We will not take it anymore, and that's what this march is all about. We can't give up. We can't concede. I just really want to see what you'll do." End quotes. Notice the definitive language of cannot concede, will not take it anymore, can't give up. In combination with Trump making clear that Congress was in the process of stealing the election right over there at the Capitol, there can be no doubt that Trump was demanding that they do something to stop it. Then he dares them. "I just really want to see what you'll do." In other words, how far are you willing to go for your cult leader and your country? And then, of course, he tells them to go to the Capitol. Other disturbing points. The first chant that he allowed to continue after speaking over others was "Fight for Trump." Interesting that he would endorse those words specifically. He also specifically targeted the mob on Pence, falsely claiming that Pence can stop the steal and that he has to do the right thing, after Pence already told Trump that he cannot legally stop the certification. This is targeting of a political enemy. Finally, he calls on military and law enforcement to join the march. Consider the implications of that. Now, I want to be careful not to fall into conspiracy theories myself here, as these are interpretations, but there's no question that Trump has been running a real conspiracy for quite some time. Despite what MAGA deniers will want you to believe, just because someone does not use violent words does not mean they are not conveying violent intent. Just like you don't have to say the word bribe to be guilty of bribery. Trump has a long history of using vague language with specific intent, and that was on full display in the speech that triggered the insurrection at the Capitol. As for the diversions about riots, BLM protests were revolts against systemic racism and police brutality, real injustices, and not orchestrated by a politician. The insurrection at the Capitol was orchestrated by Trump, with lies Trump created, targeting Trump's political enemies. Figure it out. As another example, one of Trump's campaign marketing emails, which read like scam mail, also reads like a call to war. Quote, "The president wants you and every other member of our exclusive Trump army to have something to identify yourself with, and to let everyone know that you are the president's first line of defense when it comes to fighting the liberal mob," end quote. Notice again that they have identified Democrats as a direct enemy and themselves as an army. The language of identifying yourself will also be read by his radicals as a means to tell friend from foe in a civil war. And Trump knows this. He knows what his radical supporters want to hear, and he feeds them words which he can claim are innocuous while knowing his cult will interpret them violently. It's like spending months convincing someone that their neighbor is a Satanist, casting hexes on them and their family that will kill them, and telling them to do something about it until they go over there and try to kill their neighbor. And then you claim you did nothing wrong. The summary is this. He convinced a mob that their country was being stolen from them, convinced them that they were fighting for democracy against traitors who seek to destroy that country, fed them specific targets of his political enemies, right outside the target location, with an imperative to stop those enemies from their dastardly plot before they have time to finish it, asked the military to join in, and asserted that failure was not an option. This is pretty much as clear as it gets for inciting insurrection without specifically calling for violence. As Von Rim on Twitter commented, "Relying on supporters to make the final decision to act is a version of the stochastic terrorism tactics common to authoritarian leaders around the world. This isn't the first rodeo. We've seen this play out before. If we don't want to be another failed democracy in the history books, we need to learn from it." And this is not just about justice for what's already happened. The threat continues. The FBI has warned of armed protests and insurrection being planned at all 50 state capitals and the U.S. Capitol in D.C. Quote, "The FBI received information on an identified group calling for others to join in storming state, local, and federal government courthouses and administrative buildings," end quote. They have also, of course, received threats against Biden, Pelosi, Pence, and others. Colin Powell denounced the GOP yesterday, saying he can no longer identify as a Republican and expressing disgust that Republican leaders have put pursuit of power over service to the Constitution and the American people. According to Senate reporter Manu Raju, Kevin McCarthy, the GOP House Minority Leader, indicated that Trump bears some responsibility for the Capitol riot, but also said he will not vote to impeach. "I never thought I'd be turning to a source like this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger gave an inspiring speech on patriotism the other day. He revealed some hard realities about his own experiences coming from a country scarred by the actions of Nazi Germany. He denounced the acts at the Capitol as a failed coup by Trump. He assured the American people that this threat to our democracy will ultimately strengthen our commitment to it. And he reminded us that the first step to healing, to truth and reconciliation, is truth." He also pulls out Conan's sword at one point because, of course he does, it's Arnold. Give it a watch at the link below. Point being, most of the GOP seem to be calling for unity and healing now, but you can't skip the first step, which is truth. There is one thing that can heal the nation, and that is for every leader of the party to admit that Biden won the election fairly and that they were all complicit in promoting the real fraud and an attempted coup. There is a reason rehabilitation organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous start with admitting wrongdoing. As one Twitter user put it, "What the GOP is proposing is akin to shoving your grandmother down the stairs, then saying that you shouldn't face consequences because that would further divide the family. There must be consequences, and there must be truth, or there is no disincentive to these actions in the future. Laws not enforced are not laws at all, and no one can be above the law." As Arnold says, going along with a coup happens step by step. I rather doubt we have any Trump supporters in the audience, but I'd like to ask those people to travel back in time 4 years and ask themselves, what action could Trump take that would be enough for you to admit he is an authoritarian attempting to overthrow America? Labeling any free press that criticizes him as the enemy of the people, the way Hitler did? Seizing power over states by threatening them? Instituting martial law? Inciting insurrection? Refusing to step down when he loses an election? He has attempted all of these. You've excused every step one at a time. That's how these coups work. The authoritarian spins a web of lies that give you an excuse to justify each step along the path. Like a frog in water that is slowly being brought to boil, you don't see what's happening at the time. It's only when you look back at the timeline that it's obvious what occurred, that you were radicalized by an authoritarian to support the overthrow of your own government, all while believing yourself a patriot. In the continuing backlash against insurrection at the Capitol, more businesses are cutting ties with Trump. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Marriott, AT&T, Blue Cross, Boston Scientific, and Commerce Bank shares have all temporarily halted their political donations altogether or to Trump and senators who objected to the electoral count. Comcast said, quote, "We are appalled and condemn these actions in the strongest possible terms," end quote. But they stopped short of taking action, instead saying they will, quote, "seek assurances that they will take steps to ensure nothing like this happens again," end quote. Hallmark's Political Action Committee, even Hallmark has a political agenda, went so far as to demand their donation back from Holly and Cruz. Not sure that's how donations work, Hallmark, but I wish you luck with customer service and the returns department. The golf tournament organizer, PGA, has also cut ties with Trump, canceling any plans to use his properties for tournaments in the future. Payment processor Stripe banned the Trump administration from using its services, and YouTube blocked Steve Bannon's podcast channel. This is all very much in line with a string of tweets sent out by Lincoln Project co-leader Steve Schmidt, in which he declared political war on any business that supports the GOP's actions against democracy and the Constitution. Quote, "We will seek to strangle the money flow to the entities that have declared war on American democracy and sought to bring Jim Crow disenfranchisement to our fellow Americans. We will run targeted campaigns to foment employee rebellions and shareholder revolts. Most companies have extremely low pain tolerances. We will inflict as much public pain as possible around every entity that funds the U.S. autocratic coalition. The Lincoln Project is going to reimagine corporate pressure campaigns. There will be accountability imposed on bad actors in the public square. The First Amendment will be our sword and shield. We will use it to strike at the unholy alliance that has cynically fueled this autocratic disgrace. The pro-democracy side of this fight does not need to prove its virtue through the gentle treatment of our autocratic enemies. They are not opponents. They have declared war on American democracy and have betrayed the foundational ideas and ideals of the country. There is no middle ground between freedom and autocracy. Everyone will need to choose their side. The Lincoln Project has chosen ours." End quote. As we said before, if you want to change the behavior of a politician, hit them in the wallet. As if we didn't have enough to worry about politically, the vaccine rollout across the country is being hamstrung by people refusing to take it. In places like Louisiana, as many as half of healthcare workers have declined the vaccine, due in large part to misinformation being spread by anti-vax and other conspiracy groups. In a ridiculous move, the doses, instead of being given to those who want them, have been reserved for those who don't. Again, we need federal and state leadership to get their act together on this immediately. The transition of power cannot come soon enough. Quick public service announcement. As with any time there's money to be had, scammers are going to try and swindle people. If anyone contacts you asking for personal information or money in exchange for your stimulus check, that's a scam. Do not respond and maybe report them to the FBI. Finally, I know there's a lot pressing on us all in these insane times, but it's important that we keep up the call for cash relief, lest it get lost in the shuffle. Millions of Americans are still at risk of starvation or homelessness. They need recurring checks passed as standalone legislation. It's also hard to believe that during all this, it's going to be MLK Day on January 15th. King pushed for UBI in a time of political turmoil not so different from our own. Even if you have no time for anything else, remember to send your daily letter to Congress. It takes less than a minute. Let the Senate spend their week of recess gasping for air in a sea of demands for unconditional, standalone, recurring cash relief. And let us realize the dream Martin Luther King had for America so long ago. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check out Arnold's speech, bookmark and share the scam warnings, Trump speech analysis, and the FBI warnings. Ask the Trumpers in your life what he would have to do to lose their support, and whether we've already crossed the lines they would have drawn 5 years ago. Support the Lincoln Project, send your UBI letter, flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, United Way, or the H3 podcast thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.